The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Dono in for Max today. If you want to jump aboard, feel free. Hit us up at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all our guests will join us on the Goodyear Hotline, like Kendrick Perkins, who's going to join us in about 10 minutes or so to discuss what the Bucks can do to get back in this series. And is Phoenix now a real NBA destination? And in about an hour, ESPN NFL insider Jeff Darlington on who Tom Brady is calling out, plus what's going on with these extensions of Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen. But first, it is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Let's get into the NBA Finals. Obviously, all the action tonight. Coverage begins on ABC at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, and here on ESPN Radio as well. So we will get you started as the Suns took that Game 1 lead. Chris Paul, man, it may be his time, guys. I know we've kind of been discussing this in the time that I've sat in for Max. Over these last couple of weeks, we have stressed that it just may be in the cards for Chris Paul. And look at the way he dominated that performance the other night. He was fantastic. There's really no other way to describe it. And it's funny because I was watching Tim Legler on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt previewing Game 1 of the NBA Finals a couple of days ago. And in that preview, Legs said, okay, if you are the Milwaukee Bucks, the one thing you can't do is let Chris Paul go off from a scoring perspective. Chris Paul is going to get other guys involved. That's what he does. He's the point guard, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you can't let him score. And I'm like, look, when Legs says something, it's the Bible to me, man, okay? Ain't nobody better at breaking it down than him. So I'm watching this game, and of course, Chris has that monster third quarter with 16 points. And immediately I'm like, man, they're going to win this game. And Legs was right. Legs needs to be a coach. Not that I don't want him around here doing SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt and helping us out here at the network, but good Lord, man. And, you know, Monty Williams talked about it. It's not just about passing for Chris Paul or leading or playing defense. It's the entire game. Here's Monty in the postgame about getting the most out of CP3.
Don't get in his way. Don't try to overcoach. And I'm always, you know, for me, I try to be there for him when he has a moment where he's thinking of an environment or a play that we need to run. And I think that's where we complement each other a lot better than I complimented him the first time around. But when he's in those moments, what I'm thinking about is the spacing around him and making sure everybody gets to their spots quickly.
And think about it this way. Monty Williams, as some of you may or may not know, was Chris's first coach in New Orleans, right? So they have a history together, and there's growth on both sides here. We've talked about this in the past, how Chris Paul has grown. He is at times been a guy that's been challenging to get along with for teammates. But I think a lot of that is just egos. And as you get older and you're in year 16 like Chris Paul, you understand that not everybody can be dealt with the same way. If you're the boss at an employee, or you're the boss of some employees, right, at your place of employment, you can't really treat every employee the same way in the sense of how to get the most productivity out of them. Some people, you can be more direct. Hey, Raj, you did this wrong. You need to be better at this. And I know if I tell Raj that, Raj's going to be like, he's going to get mad, but he's going to do it right. He's going to be like, hey, I'm going to show him, right? And there are some guys where you have to be like, hey, I'm going to use Bubba as an example, although Bubba doesn't need coddling. But Bubba, you know, buddy, you know, I'm going to pat you on the back on this one. I know you made a mistake. This is how I think you can correct it and do it better. Some guys need to be treated that way. And I think what Chris has learned over the years is to have a little bit of that balance. And what you hear from Monty is he's also learned not to be, you know, a control freak, for lack of a better phrase. To not be the guy that needs to call every single play from the sideline. You have to be able to trust your guys. Who better to trust than a guy like Chris Paul, who you have a history with, who is arguably the greatest point guard of this particular generation? So there's growth on both ends. And I look at Chris now, and people are going to get mad at me. I know you're going to get mad, but I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to ask Perk when he joins me in about 5 minutes. Chris Paul now, championship or not, just getting to this position has already been put in my top five. I know there was a lot of drama about Stephen A. saying that he wasn't in his top five yet, this, that, the other, got to win, this, that, and the other. Okay, I get that. No disrespect to Stephen A., but he's already in my top five. It's Magic. It's Oscar. Okay? And then after that, it's Isaiah to me. Beyond that, here's where things get tricky. Is Steph Curry a point guard? Not in the traditional sense, but that's the position he plays. In real life, he's kind of like the shooting guard, to be honest with you, although that's the way the position has evolved. He is a point guard. But Steph, look, man, he's the greatest shooter of all time, so he's in that group as well. And now it boils down to me, am I going to take the all-time assist leader, John Stockton, out of my top five? You damn right I am. You damn right I am. Because for as great as John Stockton was, if you look at Chris Paul's skill set, Chris Paul, Raj, I know you, I see you waving your arms at me. Chris Paul is a better defender. Chris Paul is a better passer of the ball. Chris Paul is a better offensive player than John Stockton.
Don't John Stockton lead the world in assists ever?
He does. He does.
That's defense.
Okay.
It's
a tough thing to do. But I'm looking at just the skill sets of the two players. And if you ask me, I need a game for my life. The aliens are coming down. Basically Space Jam. Okay?
Yeah.
Basically the theme for Space Jam. And I got to pick either John Stockton or Chris Paul. I'm picking Chris Paul.
First, you got to check Chris Paul's health. See if he's questionable or if he's out.
John Stockton,
he was there. You can count on him every day. Oh, I got to wait and see, man. I'm not ready for that. I'm not going to do it.
All right, that's fine. But I'll ask Perk. I'm sure Perk will have a hot take on that. But that's my hot take of the day. And you know me, I'm not a guy who wants to necessarily throw fireballs at you all day. But I have come to this position where I have made that determination. And if he wins a championship, then I'd cement it. And look, there's a lot of great point guards. Jason Kidd should be in that conversation. You know, there are a lot of guys at that position. It's a tough position. It is funny because as I look at Chris Paul and his career and where we're at right now, it reminds me a little bit of John Elway. People forget that John Elway, at one point in his career, lined up under the guard instead of the center as a young player and had very little playoff success. Now, I know he got to a Super Bowl. Still fairly young in his career, but that didn't work out so well. But those first three years or so, not great. You know, got better by year three, and then he just couldn't win the big one. Every time he got to a certain point, that's it. He couldn't win, and the Super Bowl was like the line of demarcation. He got destroyed in those Super Bowls. So that, to me, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, but Chris Paul is the best pure point guard of this generation. John Elway was probably the best quarterback, all-around quarterback of that generation. And I'm a guy who's a Dan Marino stan. But Elway had the ability to escape the pocket and do things that Marino couldn't do. So you can make the case that Elway was the better athlete than Marino. He's not the better passer of the football, but he was the better athlete of that generation. And we all know about Joe Montana and his just overall skill set. But I'll argue that, to the death, to be honest with you, that Marino and Elway were both better as actual athletes and actual passers of the ball than even Montana was. Don't at me, Niners fans. I'm just speaking my truth. But anyhow, it reminds me a lot of Chris. Elway had a lot of issues getting the job done and winning the championship. And I think Chris is here now. I think Chris is on the precipice of winning. And the question is, how do the Bucks adjust? Very simple to me. How about you don't leave your bigs out there in Brooke Lopez and Bobby Portis out there basically naked on an island against Chris Paul, where he's literally hunting them? Because Milwaukee's defense, and I'm going to get a little dorky on you, they switch everything, and then they play drop coverage. And I just don't think that's a good recipe when you have a guy like Chris Paul, who is probably the greatest mid-range shooter of this generation. So he's just going to eat you up and carve you up if you keep doing that. There needs to be an adjustment. And perhaps it's a personnel adjustment by the Bucks. But I think this drop coverage, this switching everything, I don't like any of that. If you're Mike Budenholzer, you need to tell Jrue Holiday, yo, you got to go over every screen. We'll hedge a little bit with the big man to keep him in check, but you got to go over every screen anywhere near that three-point line with Chris Paul. And just let Jrue Holiday be Jrue Holiday on defense. And before we get to Perk here, who's on the line, I just want to say one thing. Today is the anniversary of the decision. And I'll tell you this. I'm not shy to say this. It changed my life. LeBron James going to Miami changed my life, my career, the trajectory of all of this. So for as much as at times I have to be critical of things that LeBron does, though, you know, over the years, it's few and far between. That man changed the livelihood of myself and a lot of people. A lot of people in this business got employed after that day. And it wasn't just people at ESPN, although there were plenty of us that happened too, that ended up here at ESPN. There were plenty of other outlets all of a sudden that covered that team. But no one did it better than us. Shout out to the Heat Index with the originals, Kevin Arnovitz, Brian Windhorst, Tom Haberstroh, and Mike Wallace. But that is a seminal moment in the NBA's history and in the NBA media's history. So I just wanted to make sure we acknowledge that. Now let's acknowledge this man, Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst. You can check him out everywhere. He's on The Jump. He's on SportsCenter. He's on First Take. Perk, before I get into any of the NBA Finals stuff, was I preaching the gospel there about the anniversary of the decision?
Absolutely. It was a powerful gospel. And that's what LeBron James is. He's powerful, right? Think about it. You know, you have some guys that are popular that, you know, okay, yeah, hey, yeah, we know them. But they have them powerful people that impact everybody. And that's what LeBron James is. He impacts everybody. He impacts cities. He impacts the country. He impacts employment. But anyway, George, I wouldn't tell LeBron that, you know, the reason that you're here today is because of LeBron James. You're here today because George Sedano is a flat-out stud. That's what I would say. And he knows the game of basketball. Like I just heard you talking about Jrue Holiday getting up over screens. I'm like, look at George going into his coaching bag.
But I'm right, right? Like, if you're Mike Budenholzer, you gotta say, all right, I know that we have played drop coverage and we switch everything, but Jrue, you're the one guy that can't switch.
Absolutely. And listen, to me, switching pick and rolls is just a lazy way out on the defensive end. Switching pick and rolls, I repeat, is a lazy way out on the defensive end. You got to want it. And Jrue Holiday, we know, we used to have this saying when we was playing for the guard, don't get screened. Biggs, do your job. Talk, communicate early. Don't get screened. Don't get hit by screens. It's that simple. If the big do his job and tell the guard that is coming and they force it one way, get small, get on Chris Paul hip, get on Devin Booker hip, don't get screened, get up over the screen, square the ball back up, and then you keep it moving.
Yeah, I'm with you wholeheartedly. You can't leave those big men on an island, Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis. Now, let me ask you this, Perk. Would you make a change to the starting lineup if you were the Bucks? You know, I've been seeing people on Twitter saying maybe P.J. Tucker shouldn't be starting, maybe Bobby Portis should be starting. How would you address the starting lineup?
Well, I mean, it's one game, okay? It's one game. You're talking about game one, and people don't need to overreact to one game because the Phoenix Suns have been – dominating game one throughout the course of this playoffs because they've been putting themselves in position by finishing series early, right? So they've been able to be at home and scouting their opponent. We have to remember the Bucks had a quick turnaround. They went straight from the Atlanta Hawks series on to the finals, having to travel, deal with media. They didn't really have time to adjust. So, but at the end of the day, Now you get to see what Mike Budenholzer and what the Milwaukee Bucks can do. I wouldn't just switch it up just yet. I would go out there with what I got because Brook Lopez has been playing tremendously. I thought at times when P.J. Tucker did guard Chris Paul, he didn't score on him. It was just those switches. But look, we know what P.J. Tucker brings to the table. He makes those winning plays that don't show up in the stat sheet. Brook Lopez, I mean, my God, last game he had 17-6, I believe, in 23 minutes. He just didn't really see the court in the fourth quarter. And I get it because of the pick and roll you subbing because of defense, but what he was providing on the offensive end, them rim runs, those deep seals, and knocking down those corner threes and just doing it all, he's impactful, and he can be impactful, especially with Savage being out. You get a chance to get DeAndre Ayton in foul trouble, it's a whole nother story now.
No doubt. Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst, joining us here on the Goodyear Hotline. He's giving us the straight talk. Yes, sir. He's giving us the straight talk. No contract, no compromise. Giving it to us straight, as he always does. So, Perk, let me flip over to Chris Paul a little bit. You know, I was talking about how Tim Legler said this on SportsCenter the other night in the preview of Game 1. And he was telling Scott Van Pelt, if you are the Bucks, okay, the one thing you cannot allow to happen is Chris Paul to eat you up getting buckets, okay? Now, Chris Paul's going to get you some points. Chris Paul's going to get other guys opportunities, but you can't let him be the guy that's the leading scorer. How, if you're Milwaukee, outside of what we just discussed as far as the pick and roll and whatnot, what do you do defensively to make sure Chris Paul is not the guy killing you getting buckets?
Well, here's the thing, though, George. You have to look at the buckets that he was getting. All right, and a lot of those times, it was tough contested twos and tough contested threes. They have a saying, well, great offense beat good defense any day. Sometimes you got to tip your hat. I mean, it was certain plays that, you know, Chris Paul made that it was nothing that you could do defensively. Unless you're going to trap him and get the ball out of his hands. But why would you do that? Because he has so much offensive power around him in his IQ, he's going to have 20 assists. He's going to put others in position to be successful. So I don't believe that Chris Paul could average 30 throughout this series. Look, he had a tremendous game one. I'm not saying he's not capable of doing it, but I don't know if CP3 could average and give you 32 a night on some of those shots he was making in game one.
Kendrick Perkins hanging out with us here, ESPN NBA analyst on the Goodyear Hotline. So let me bring you into my conversation earlier before you joined us. I know Stephen A's talked about this on First Take about CP3 maybe getting into his top five. Perk, I'm there. And I think I may make some people mad, okay? Because I've got number one at the point guard position, Magic Johnson. I've got Oscar, number two, okay? I've got Isaiah, okay? Isaiah Thomas, Detroit Pistons, number three. Then I've got Steph Curry. Even though I don't consider him a traditional point guard, that's the way the game is now. He is a point guard. He's the greatest shooter of all time. And then my thing was, okay, do I take the all-time assist leader, John Stockton, out of my top five? You know, and there are other guys, obviously, you can consider. Jason Kidd, Gary Payton, right? Like, there's a lot of great point guards historically. But I did, Perk. I put Chris Paul in there, and I moved John Stockton down because if I had a game for my life, and I had to pick John Stockton or Chris Paul, if I only had those two options, I think Chris Paul's skill set is better than John Stockton's. And I may be splitting hairs, but that's where I would go. Am I crazy or what?
No, you're not crazy. Chris Paul been in my top five. And there's no disrespect to John Stockton. But, I mean, it was John Stockton was in the system, okay? He had a system around him along with Karl Malone that he was able to thrive well. That's why he have all those assists. And I'm not knocking him as a player. I'm just keeping it real. Look at Chris Paul and his impact on every organization that he went to. He may not have won championships, but the guy is a flat-out winner. The New Orleans Pelicans, New Orleans Hornets, I believe they were at the time when he got drafted. Okay? Look where he took that organization to as soon as he stepped foot in the front door. Then you look at what he did for the Clippers. Then when you look at what he did with OKC. Then you look what he did for the Rockets when he was there. He was a hamstring away, a hamstring pull away, in my opinion, from advancing, taking the Rockets to the finals. He does the unthinkable. At the age of 36, where he left OKC, George, and could have went, could have asked Sam Presti for a bow, could have went joined the Lakers, could have went joined the Bucks, could have went joined any contender. But he went joined the Phoenix Suns. With a young core that has zero playoff experience. Now, people could talk about luck and injuries and all that. Well, the Phoenix Suns finished with a top two, top three record in the league. So don't come with me about luck and all this. They've been dominating and they put themselves in this position. And now he has a team that hasn't been to the playoffs since 2010, the finals since 1993. He has them back in the finals up game 1-0. With a chance to win his first championship in NBA history? Oh, he's a top five point guard without a doubt.
There he is, Kendrick Perkins. You in my top five anything, Perk. You're always in my top five. Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst. My brother, great talking to you as always. Appreciate you.
You too, George. Thank you, man.
All right, man. Take care. Stay cold. Normally you tell people to stay warm, but you got to stay, like, cold in Phoenix. Man, it's hot out there. I've seen all my colleagues out there sweating. Good Lord. Hey, it's the Max Kellerman Show. I'm George Sedano, and for Max, it's on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. All right, coming up next, UFC 264 is coming up this weekend. Hear why Conor McGregor says he lost to Poirier last time out. He spoke to Stephen A. We'll have that in a second. But first, friends, if you're in a job, you can't stand or worried about your unemployment benefits and when they'll be ending, you need to go to mycomputercareer.edu and fill out the free career evaluation form. I've personally spoken with them, and they're so legit. You know, I mean, look, they're so legit. The employers are lining up to hire their graduates in as little as 4 months. Okay, you could start your career in growing areas like cybersecurity and networking fields. Grants covering up to 53% of the costs are available to those who qualify. Guys, it's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. And make sure you tell them that Max and myself and the folks here at ESPN Radio sent you. All right, UFC 264. Hear why Conor says he lost last time to Dustin Poirier. He spoke to Stephen A. We'll hear from it next.
GJNC and the NBA playoffs.
If you're the Milwaukee Bucks, they are by far the favorite. If there's a year to close the deal, it is this year. You win the whole damn thing.
Breaking it down until a champion is crowned. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Fight week, baby.
We're 1-1. Maybe we have to do it again. Very important for the game with Dustin Poirier. A lot of kicks.
It's me trying to show that January wasn't a fluke.
The Max Kellerman Show rolls on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. George Sedano in for Max today. Thanks to Kendrick Perkins for joining us in that last segment. Jeff Darlington, we'll talk some NFL with him. Specifically, what's going on with all these quarterback contract extensions. And who is Tom Brady calling out? There's a call out, apparently. And we'll get to that at 3:10 Eastern, 12:10 Pacific. So Kendrick agreed, Perk agreed, with my CP3 in the top five point guards of all time now. Apparently not everyone in the audience did. Most people in the audience are with you, Raj, but people can hit us up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. By the way, the final chapter in the rivalry between Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor will be written this Saturday at UFC 264. I'll be there. And it's exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV. So Conor sat down, I believe, yesterday with our guy Stephen A. And I'm going to warn you real quick. This is a television audio recording, so there's going to be some music in between for like a couple seconds. And you'll hear the whole clip. It's about 30 seconds long. But Conor was saying some stuff about Dustin and that last matchup. Let's hear him with Stephen A.
I pity the man, to be honest with you. I was looking past him. I had a Manny Pacquiao camp in place. Another thing, I've not brought my family with me this time. It's hard to go face to face and want to tear through a man and then hold your son or your daughter. When I would have rest day around my family, it's not really a rest day. I'm playing with the kids, I'm busy. My rest days have been true rest days. So then when I go again for my next round of work, I'm energized, I'm refreshed.
So he's saying that he didn't take him seriously the second time? Because let's kind of go back here. Their first fight was 7 years ago. This was peak Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor had never lost in the UFC to that point. He was the man. And if you watch that fight, and I have gone back to watch it recently. If you go back to watch that fight, Dustin Poirier, first of all, the fight was held at a different weight class, okay? Like, let's start there. You know, Dustin Poirier looked smaller, and he looked intimidated by Conor because of the aura and everything that surrounded Conor at that time. Now, fast forward to January, where they fought, and they fought at a heavier weight class, something that I felt like benefited Dustin Poirier. And Dustin Poirier also came in with a different strategy. You know, he was working with American Top Team down in South Florida, in Coconut Creek, Florida. And if you watch the second fight, within a minute of the second fight, and Poirier's a great striker, you know, great boxing technique, et cetera, et cetera. He went and took Conor to the ground. And Conor was surprised by that because that's not normally Poirier's strategy. He wants to keep it up top. And Conor, you could tell, was stunned just by the way he reacted to it, the way he stiffened his arms. He had to make sure to try to not get taken down. And Conor was able to work his way to the edge of the octagon and eventually get himself up and get himself free. But that took a lot out of Conor, a lot of energy out of Conor in that fight. And the other thing Poirier did, if you watch that second fight, man, he was just destroying Conor's front leg with those calf kicks. Just nailing him every single chance he got, to the point where that leg kind of became a little dead. And you could tell the guys in the broadcast were talking about it. But the thing to me, where when I was watching the second fight between Poirier and Conor, that stuck out the most, remember what I said about the first fight where I felt like Poirier was intimidated? That wasn't the case in the second fight. And go back, if you watch the fight, go pull it up on YouTube or wherever. There's about 50 seconds left in the first round. Conor hits Poirier with a flurry. Poirier strikes back. And all of a sudden, Poirier smiles at Conor and points at him. And right there, I said, uh-oh, wait a second. This is not the same Dustin Poirier. It's not. He is confident. He has a game plan. He knows what he's doing here. And then in the second round, we saw more of those calf kicks, more of those calf kicks. And then he caught Conor. And that was it. Now, look, maybe Conor's right. Maybe Conor's focus wasn't where it needed to be. Maybe Conor will be more prepared for the possibility of Dustin taking him down, of those calf kicks. Now, there are things you can do technique-wise to change that. Because, you know, I was watching Unlocking Victory on ESPN+. With the guys, and they have a number of different guys. Dominic Cruz is one of the guys. Gabe Melendez is another guy who is part of that show. And they basically give you like the X's and O's. It's kind of like if it was a football game, they go like back on the film, right, and tell you how to do it. And they think that Conor can make subtle adjustments to avoid those calf kicks. So if he can do that, and if he can be prepared for a confident Dustin Poirier and understand what his strategy may be and how he can find a way to use his best tool, because let's face it, when you look at Conor McGregor, you know his best tool is his left hand. If he can find a way to get his left hand going, then it may be a different fight. But has Conor evolved enough over the years? I don't know. And also, as we all know about every athlete, Father Time is undefeated. Conor's getting up in age. He hasn't fought as much. There are, you know, if you're a fighter, you got to fight to stay sharp. And when you don't fight as much, It's hard to stay sharp. Now, again, his last fight was January. We're a few months removed from that. This is more in line with what Conor would be doing if he was focused on fighting in the octagon. So we'll see if that pays off. It's going to be an unbelievable fight. And by the way, if you want more analysis on this, make sure you check out the new show I'm on ESPN Plus, the Chael Sonnen Show with my guy Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen Show with George Sedano on ESPN Plus drops every Monday and Wednesday. And we got another show for you. Our pal Ryan Clark is doing the show with Daniel Cormier on ESPN Plus. It's DC and RC, and you can check out that on ESPN Plus as well on Thursdays. But UFC 264, it is coming, and we are ready for it, man. I can't wait to get to Vegas for this thing. I'll be there Saturday morning. Hey, by the way, the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. George Sedano in for Max. Coming up next, NFL teams. Have they gotten a lot smarter at particularly handling quarterbacks? I'll tell you what that's about in just a moment. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, small business protection for more than vehicles with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at progressivecommercial.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Yes, sir. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. George Sedano in for Max. If you want to hit us up, it's 888-SAY-ESPN. We'll take some of your calls here in a second. 888-729-3776. We were talking about Chris Paul. I've officially moved him into my top five. Sorry, John Stockton. If I had to pick, I know Rod's so mad about this. If I had to pick one guy, look, I got Magic.
Stockton was on the dream team. The dream team.
I know, but Chris Paul was seven during the Dream Team. Like, there's not much I can do about that. You know what I'm saying? So it's Magic, it's Oscar, it's Isaiah, it's Steph, and now Chris Paul. The all-time assist leader is going to have to take one step back on my top five. It's going to happen eventually to everybody. And look, man, I'm leaving out the glove, Jason Kidd. There's a lot of great point guards historically. So people are chiming in on that. I was talking about Conor and the big fight, UFC 264. He did add this with Stephen A. He said, quote, "I'm the hungry lion. Oh, excuse me. Am I the hungry lion I once was? Maybe not. It's certainly different. But I'm now the fat cat. I'm the fat cat pulling all the strings around here. And that's an even more dangerous individual." I don't know how I feel about that. You got to be the hungry lion in that sport, man. Not the fat cat. That's just me. We'll see. Poirier is a big, strong dude, and his skills have evolved. I don't know how much Conor's skills have evolved over the last several years. And he's taken more time off. I'm curious to see how all this stuff shakes out. Let's go to the phones here, though. Let's go to Robert in Virginia, who wants to talk about CP3. Robert, what's up? Hello, Robert. Going once, twice, gone. Kelly is in Virginia and wants to talk about Conor McGregor. Kelly.
Hey, first and foremost, I'm the biggest Conor McGregor fangirl. My favorite moment of Conor McGregor was when he ripped up that poster of Jose Aldo. I was there that day.
Well, he did that, you know, he did that, like, because Sinead O'Connor, who he loves, obviously, Ireland, did that once on Saturday Night Live. Like, it was just kind of like a play off of that, if you recall.
Yeah, I was actually there. I was the one that was standing behind Jose Aldo's wife. I was the one with the red skirt. Yeah, but anyway, what do you think this, if a loss was due to his legacy?
Okay, I don't understand the question. You're saying that what is this loss due to his legacy? Like, if he loses this one?
What due to his legacy?
Yeah, what would a loss do to his legacy?
Oh, what would a loss do to his legacy? I don't think anything would do anything to his legacy. I think what we'd say is what I was talking about earlier. Father Time is undefeated. He's been inactive for the most part for the last several years. And inactivity for a fighter, you know, Raj, you're a huge boxing guy. You know, inactivity for a fighter, regardless of whether it's MMA or boxing, is a death nail, I think.
When you first said that, there's one person that's kind of overcome that, and it's Sugar Ray Leonard in history, but his last fight, lost to Hector Macho Camacho, was off of a layoff, and he got knocked out.
Right.
You're right. You got to stay sharp, man. You can't just take time off like that.
Generally speaking, that's the case. And Kelly, thank you for the call, and I'm sorry that I couldn't understand what you were saying at the end. And Bubba, thank you for clarifying. I appreciate that. So I mentioned the NFL and teams getting smarter with QBs. And the reason I say that is because I saw some quotes from Sean McDermott, the Buffalo Bills head coach. And, of course, the Buffalo Bills are near and dear to Christine Lisi's heart, who we heard during the update. And McDermott was asked about Josh Allen's contract situation. And he's like, I'm not worried. Not worried about it at all. And it's funny because if you look around the league, the Browns kind of dealing with that. Remember Baker's agent was out there saying we need to get a deal done or whatever. We're, you know, we're going to try to get a deal done. Lamar Jackson has won an MVP. He doesn't have an extension either. Now, we'll ask Jeff Darlington about this stuff. He's going to join us at 3:10 Eastern, 12:10 Pacific. But I think it's smart for teams to do this because think about it this way. Too many teams have made mistakes because of this prevailing notion of, oh, you got to get your QB and lock him up ASAP. I've never really understood that logic. Look at the Rams and Jared Goff. That to me is the perfect example. They probably locked him up too soon. Then they realized, oh, he has limitations. He's a bit of a system quarterback. Sean has kind of made him better than maybe he is physically. And they had to find a way to trade him. Now, granted, they did get the upgrade in Matthew Stafford, in my opinion. However, they had to go through all sorts of cap gymnastics to make that happen. And if you look at the quarterback landscape overall, man, it is so much more sophisticated now at the lower levels, even at high school. Forget about college. So if you're an NFL team, take your time. Be sure you got the right guy. Because if you're not sure, all you got to do is draft a new guy. You know, these days of paying $50 million signing bonuses or whatever for these quarterbacks like Sam Bradford back in the day, that stuff is done. Just draft a new guy. And I think teams are getting smarter with that each and every year. I want to continue this discussion. We'll do some of that on the other side with Jeff Darlington. He's going to join us to talk about these extensions and what's going to happen next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.